Welcome, everyone, to the High Vibe Tribe podcast. I'm Marcy Newman, your host. I have a wonderful guest today. Her name is Karina Kirshner. Karina, welcome to you.
Thank you, Marcy. I'm so happy to be here.
You know, I just want to tell our audience a little bit about you, but I want to begin initially by letting everyone know that I first met Karina by putting some feelers out for people to come on to the special project that I was doing called Grace to Gratitude. And I don't know if anyone has ever done a project of this nature, but I like to do them for 30 days to really build up a particular energy frequency, which is what grace and gratitude was really being called for at that moment. And Karina answered my feelers through the grapevine of the wonderful Facebook opportunities. And I just have to really highly recommend that anyone who has that time and that interest to go to my Grace to Gratitude project on YouTube and listen into Karina's interview, because she tells a wonderful, wonderful story. And it was so powerful. And I just, first off, want to thank you again for that, Karina. Thanks so much.
Oh, yeah, it was my pleasure, Marcy.
So a little bit about Karina is she's a transformational coach, and she specializes in helping clients to quickly identify and heal subconscious blocks, old emotional wounds, and self-sabotaging core beliefs that are holding them back from living the life that they know that they want. Karina is dedicated to helping her clients heal the wounds that are in the very root of their struggles. Her work is deeply transformative, compassionate, and profound. And I will also tell our audience that it was shortly after we did our Grace to Gratitude program that someone reached out to me and told me that they had signed up for your free gift, which was a little mini session with you. And she said that she had the most profound response. So I want to encourage everyone to really take this in. So yeah. Karina, you come with quite a repertoire of opportunities that you offer people. But I would love for people to hear, you know, just a little bit about how you got started in this work. It's called RIM, which is Regenerating Images and Memory. Well, that's part of what you do, right?
Well, that's the technique that I use to help people really access the roots of their struggles in their subconscious mind, and then to transmute and rewire all of those annoying problemsome patterns that we have deep inside our subconscious. Regenerating images and memory is the technique that I'm trained in. I'm a certified RIM facilitator, and that's what I use with my clients.
Which I don't know anyone else, but when I first met Karina, I had never heard of that before. So that was another thing I was so interested to read about and to hear about from you, and how you utilize that. So please share with our audience a little bit about your own background and how that came to be for you.
Yeah, well, regenerating images and memory is really, really new. Like, I think it was found or developed around 2014, and there's still less than 200 people in the whole world who have been trained in it. So it's really, really a new modality. But to me, it's just completely revolutionary, because it is this incredibly intuitive and effortless way to access the blocks in your subconscious mind and deeply heal them, so that you can move forward in your life without being held back by, you know, whatever those blocks in the subconscious are. A lot of times people have a lot of unprocessed emotional wounds, you know, just because we live in a world that isn't really deeply supportive of having emotional intelligence and integration. And lots of people have limiting beliefs, and there's just all sorts of stuff that goes on in our subconscious mind that holds us back. So that's really the root of it, is organically listening to your subconscious mind and then deeply healing whatever you find there.
Interesting. So you're actually diving in to where these subconscious blocks are.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So how did you get started in this? I mean, like you said, this is something really very, very new to hit the healing field. And with so few people around the world, let me ask this.
Uh-huh.
How did it find you?
I love that. Well, I heard of it through a friend who got certified in it. But the bigger story is that just my entire life, I have spent being really anxious, and I've had just really huge feelings of self-criticism, self-doubt, self-judgment, and all of that felt very compulsive and deep within me. You know, like I tried all the things to try to deal with my anxiety and the self-judgment and all these just deep feelings of unworthiness. I did meditation and intuition classes. In fact, I taught meditation and intuition classes for 15 years, and that helped, you know. I did therapy for a decade, and that helped too. But when I found regenerating images and memory, within 6 months, my anxiety had gone down 50%, which just is insane. You know, like I had struggled for so long and tried all the things. I'd even done 4 years of trauma work training as a professional. So the fact that I had this profound shift when I found regenerating images and memory, it just got my attention. You know, it was like, okay, hold everything. I'm getting trained in this, you know, it was just one of those amazing life-changing moments when I knew that my life had been altered forever. And all I really wanted to do with my time was to help other people discover this deep healing potential. And I really attribute it, well, Rim is just very, very magical and amazing. The woman who developed it, her name is Dr. Deb Sandella, and she's a psychotherapist, but yeah, I just felt the healing potential within me and knew that I had to get trained in it. And I really attribute it, you know, the effectiveness is because it got my subconscious blocks on board. Whereas everything else, I could kind of hover above my subconscious, you know, like we mostly identify with our conscious minds. That's where most of our, you know, just explanations for life come. And that's where therapy was, yeah, mostly accessing my conscious mind. Even with my intuitive training and my trauma training and my meditation, I could still stay in my conscious mind, but really what needed to be healed was in my subconscious. So
I have to ask this question. Why do you think the subconscious is so much more powerful than our conscious mind?
You know, I can't answer why. I just know that it is. I'm not exactly sure why that is. But, you know, current neuroscience is telling us that 95% of all of our thoughts, behaviors, and emotions originate in our subconscious mind, not our conscious mind. So that's a massively huge proportion of the origination of our thoughts and behaviors. And so that's why I think that accessing the subconscious is so important.
I mean, that's really a very scary statistic, because what it infers is that we're sort of, you know, walking around in this trance, right? This mm-hmm. part of our mind that we think that we're in full control and making all these decisions on a moment-to-moment basis, when in fact, mm-hmm. there's something else entirely that's running the show.
Well, yeah, it's really true. And I mean, we all want to think that we're in control, but when I talk to most people, it doesn't take too long for them to start really admitting kind of vulnerably, like, yeah, it's true. You know, sometimes my own motivations don't even seem clear at all to me. Or, you know, sometimes I have these intrusive thoughts where I'm walking around happy and then all of a sudden I'm just racked with anxiety, you know, or sometimes my emotions just bubble up out of nowhere and take over, you know. So we actually know how much power our subconscious minds have when we start, you know, kind of being vulnerable enough to admit we're not in full control, and that sometimes we don't even make total sense to ourselves, you know. But, you know, it's really very common. And I think anyone who has really tried to you know, go for a huge goal in life, or, you know, really wants to contribute to the world, has to some degree experienced the frustration of self-sabotage, or, you know, this feeling that I want to move forward, but there's something pulling me backwards. You know, like it's very ubiquitous that people, once you start talking about the subconscious, they start relating to like, oh yeah, yeah, that's why I'm repeating this pattern in my life. Or, oh yeah, yeah, that's why those intrusive thoughts and you know, out of control emotions, you know, come from. So we do think we're in control, but once you start scratching that story of control just a little bit, scratching beneath the surface, almost everybody can relate to, you know, self-sabotage, repeating patterns, intrusive thoughts, you know, those kinds of things.
Sure. So how do you help them to uncover those root causes, the struggles, or how do you even help them to see the patterns that are repeating?
Yeah, well, most people come to me already knowing that there's something frustrating. And then the cool thing about the subconscious mind, and one thing I love about regenerating images and memory, is that your subconscious really wants to speak to you. Like, it really wants to be known, it wants to be seen, and it wants to help you heal what's there. So if you know how to listen to it, it's really not that difficult for it to start communicating, because we've been ignoring it for so long that it's like, please listen, seriously, please, 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 you know. So once we go inside and just start listening to it, it has a lot to say. And a couple of things I would love to just tell your audience about the subconscious is one thing that I love is that it does hold these blocks, you know, everything that I've been talking about, the core beliefs that cause us to self-sabotage, the unprocessed emotions or old emotional wounds that just kind of create inertia and confusion in our emotions and our thoughts. Those do exist in the subconscious, but the other part of the subconscious that most people don't talk about is that it holds an incredibly deep wisdom and this massively profound healing potential that's just innate and organic to our bodies and to our minds, to our hearts and souls. That all rests in the subconscious too. So as you start going into the blocks and the discomfort in your life, what you start uncovering is all of this brilliance and all of this wisdom and this vast healing potential that's, it blows my mind every single time I work with a client, how much wisdom is there. So I always love to tell people that about the subconscious, because we don't talk about that very often. And the route to that wisdom is just directly through the discomfort or those repeating patterns or those out of control emotions. And the subconscious, I mean, most people call it the subconscious mind, but it doesn't just exist in our brains and in our nervous systems. It exists in our cellular memory and in the knowing of our bodies. So it's really a very somatic and visceral sort of thing when we start listening to our subconscious. I almost always just start people by feeling the discomfort in their bodies. You know, we run from our pain and we run from our confusion and we try to hide, you know, our vulnerability and that kind of stuff. But really the route to healing it is just going straight into it. Because when you go into it, especially in a supported way, you know, like my clients are always very supported, but when you go into it, that's where the resolution can come. And then you go straight through it to that brilliant, deep inner wisdom that's within everyone without exception. So
that's amazing. It really is. When you think about all of these systems that are at work within us, kind of hardwired, right, throughout every single part of us. And how, in some cases, we have this perception that they're working against us, right? They're causing us suffering. They're causing us issues. And yet, deeply within it is clearly this system that is working in our favor under every circumstance. And it's all a matter of the difference of our approach and what we're willing to glean from every experience. And it sounds like the system, the RIM, is a method that just is so evidential in what it shows people and how they can access their own relief from pain and suffering.
Yeah, totally. And it's just this really holistic and organic way of growing your self-love and understanding yourself more deeply and more fully. And you're exactly right. Like our subconscious blocks, you know, they feel like blocks. And so most of us feel like, I just want to get rid of it, you know, but when you start actually talking to them, they all have your best interest at heart. Like most of our subconscious blocks came in when we were children and experienced something emotionally overwhelming or painful. And then from our little kid mind, we came up with some little part to protect us from that pain or from that overwhelm. You know, if we couldn't process the pain and overwhelm there and back in childhood, and a lot of times we couldn't, because again, we have a society that's not very emotionally intelligent. And so all of these blocks, you know, I say that self-sabotage is really just like self-love gone awry because these blocks are almost always trying to protect us from pain or protect us from, some sort of overwhelm. It's just that they're going about it in ways that oftentimes, now limit our lives, you know, as a child from our little child mind, these sorts of things made sense. And now as an adult, they feel like prisons that are kind of trapping us and holding us back.
Absolutely. I had this image of, you know, this little child hiding behind a couch, right? Uh-huh. Just so afraid of coming out because of its perceptions, right? Of interpreting its own guilt almost. And what's going to happen because of it. It's interesting, as you were speaking, you know, the whole issue with guilt and shame sort of came through me. And how, God, if we could just obliterate that.
Yeah. You know,
the guilt and the shame, because it's all misperceived and misconceived.
It is. Yeah. And one thing that we forget about being a child, because it's not fun to remember, is, well, there's one thing that children do, and that is that they believe everything is their fault. And it's a natural, normal stage that every child goes through. It's just called that it's called self-assigned meaning, which means that everything that happens to us, we kind of feel like is our fault. So let's say our parents are stressed out, and because they're stressed, they lash out at us or something. We assign the meaning that is our fault, just naturally. This is like a normal, healthy phase of development for children, but it's really not true, you know? And as an adult, we can look back and realize that not everything was our fault, but as a child, we feel that it is our fault. And then another thing we forget about our childhood is that we are completely dependent on our caregivers for survival. You know, we can't get our own food and we can't provide our own shelter and all that kind of stuff. And so when they are angry at us or when there's discord in our relationship with our caregivers, it feels threatening to our very survival, you know? And so that inner child part of us is just so much more vulnerable than we allow ourselves to remember most of the time, you know? And that's the part of us that formed these subconscious habits and subconscious beliefs that we now are operating off of. And so it's really valuable to go back to those vulnerable parts of ourselves or those inner child parts of ourselves and start to help them understand the world differently, you know, and give them the support from us as an adult now that they would have wanted back, you know, in the day when they were feeling threatened or that they were feeling like everything was their fault. So I think we forget just exactly how vulnerable it is to be a kid and that we still have those vulnerable parts alive within us and they're really deserving of love and support. And so that's a really big part of regenerating images and memory is just finding that vulnerability within. And again, it's just in this very organic way. We don't just go digging for like, what's the most vulnerable thing, you know, but, you know, commonly my clients do access those inner child parts of them that just really want some love and really just were very confused about the world back then, that they thought it was their fault and that everything was much scarier than it would have been to us as an adult.
Mm. This might be straying from our discussion here a bit, but something came to mind when you were saying that, you know, the whole self-defined meaning, right? Mm-hmm. That is accepted as normal development. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it really is. You know what came into my mind, Karina, is I remember reading about this, I think it was an African tribe or maybe somewhere else, I don't know, but whenever they had anyone within the tribe who had behaviors that were hurtful to anyone else in any way, rather than punishing them, they would bring them into a hut, isolated, and everyone in the tribe would go in and tell that person all the wonderful things about them. There was never any blame, shame. And I wonder if they ever even developed guilt.
Yeah.
And so I can't help but wonder if what we consider to be normal, and of course, you know, that's where you and I work, right? So we have to have some level of what we consider normalcy in terms of our benchmark. But from a spiritual aspect, I wonder if that's really true. If we haven't accepted this as normal under the socialization patterns that we have in the world that we live in.
I mean, that's an interesting point, and I'm not sure, but yeah, that's beautiful, that story, because that's really exactly what we need as children and as adults, you know, is that reminder that we're not broken, we're not wrong, we might go off course, we're definitely going to make mistakes, and we won't be perfect, you know, but we're still valuable and, you know, lovable and that kind of thing. So that's a really beautiful story.
I can't help but imagine what beautiful adults those are. And, you know, that level of parenting even that could take place if we are not reverting to the blame that does cause a child to take on shame and guilt, which we know completely erodes their sense of self as well as their relationship to their higher self, right? That's just interesting to talk about, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's just such a, we live in such an interesting world, and as children, our minds really aren't fully formed, you know, from like birth to age 7, we're just in this kind of hypnotic openness to the world. Our brainwaves are even different than adult brainwaves because we're learning so much in those years. Like if we kept learning that much as adults, we'd all be just super geniuses. But part of it is that we're learning it with less filter of an adult view, you know, and so we're just kind of taking in everything, and everything's landing very deeply in our neural pathways and in our cellular memory. And so it's just this very formative time of our lives where our minds really do work very differently than our adult mind will eventually. And back to that self-assigned meaning. So I went through a divorce, like, what was it? I don't know, maybe 4 to 5 years ago. And one of my sons was little. Well, no, they were both were really little. But everyone had told me to tell them, like to go tell my sons it was not their fault. And I kept being like, well, why would I need to tell them that? I've never told them it's their fault. I've never implied that it's their fault. You know, like what a strange thing. But because so many people told me, I was like, okay. And this was before I'd really learned about self-assigned meaning. so I did one night, I was snuggled up with my little son, and I was just like, I just want you to know that none of this is your fault. And he punched me, which is totally out of character for him. Like absolutely, you know, like not his normal behavior in any sort of way. So that just signaled to me. It was like, oh my gosh, there's like major emotional charge here, you know? And so I just kind of like continued whenever there was a moment where it would come up naturally to repeat to him, like lovingly, like this was not your fault. There's absolutely nothing, you know, about this that is your fault, until he could hear it without he himself having this huge emotional reaction. So I don't know what it is about self-assigned meaning or exactly where it comes from neurologically, but it was really amazing for me to watch it, you know, in one of my children where I, you know, everyone told me, tell him this. And I was like, why would I tell him? I've never told him it was his fault. But deep inside his little mind, he clearly believed it was, or he wouldn't have reacted with that level of charge, you know, by punching me, you know, when he's just this sweet little snuggle bug. So,
I wish someone had recommended that I do that with my children who were adults, because I think they also had reactions of that nature, you know, taking it upon themselves in some degree that perhaps it was their fault, right? Yeah. Something that they had done that caused the rift between my husband and I.
Yeah.
When, you know, of course, in fact, it had nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
So I think that was a wonderful suggestion. And I'm so glad that you followed through on it.
Yeah, me too. And it really opened my eyes to like, oh, right, there's so much going on in their little brains that, you know, adult brains might not really, you know, believe or think, or adult brains may be able to filter it differently, but these little guys, they can't, because they're kiddos. They're just in a different mind space entirely.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's really beautiful. It just, you know, it's so poignant in many ways. In other ways, it is, it's inspirational actually, right? Because it tells us that whatever has been created, developed, it also means that we can shift it, we can change it.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, what the neuroplasticity is all about. But
right.
It also tells us how malleable we are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important information, because as adults, we think we may be impermeable to, you know, the stimuli right from the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, we have got to be as diligent as we would be with our children in terms of, and I don't want to use the word protection because I believe that we're already safe.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I think that we really have to practice discernment.
Yeah. Yeah. And even when we are already safe, we don't always feel safe deep on the inside, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's the subconscious stuff, is it's those feelings that you maybe can't really explain with your conscious mind. You know, like I couldn't explain consciously why I always felt completely unworthy and so completely full of self-judgment, you know, but it was deep inside me and it was impacting every part of my life, you know? And so that's that subconscious stuff. It's not super rational, but, it's just this implicit emotional experience of the world that's coming from somewhere deep inside. And yeah, like you said, with neuroplasticity, we are able to, even as adults, really go to the source of that and rewire it. And then organically, when that stuff is healed in the subconscious, your life just begins to change, you know, without even that much effort. It's just like when you start dealing with those emotional blocks and those wounds and that kind of stuff, then the rest of your life just has this ease. And like, you know, like when I went from being super anxious, you know, to my anxiety being eased to the point now I'm like a normal, healthy, you know, adult with anxiety sometimes, you know, it's not like I don't have anxiety ever, but you know, now it's a really healthy thing. It's like my life just was able to open up from all the ways that I was hiding from anxiety. Those were just no longer necessary, you know? And so my relationships changed and deepened, my ability just to go into big groups and, you know, parties and be in public changed, you know? So it's just amazing when that stuff in the subconscious shifts, how the rest of our lives can shift as well.
It's really remarkable.
Yeah, it's so
really
cool.
Remarkable. So because this is so new, would you mind giving us a little example, like maybe, well, are you able to take us through like a little mini session so that we can have a taste of what the RIM is all about?
Yeah. It's not fully going to be a mini session. Okay. It's just going to be like kind of dipping your toe into how to open to your subconscious and start that communication. So it really is just the tip of the iceberg. But yeah, I mean, I am able to do it with groups, and we'll just do a very brief sort of thing here. But even with the brief ones, they're very profound, because again, your subconscious is deeply wise. And it's just waiting for you to listen. It's like, please, please. And so when you start, the profound shifts start almost immediately, because this dear part of you is like, here, I want to tell you this. I want you to see this, and I want to help you. So it kind of has a momentum of its own. Even when you just dip your toe in, I feel like it can be a really profound experience. So yeah, I would totally love to do that.
How fabulous. Okay.
Yeah. So
what should everybody do who's listening?
Well, if you're in a place where it's safe for you to close your eyes and relax your body, I recommend closing your eyes. And if that's not safe, or it just doesn't feel right to you, that's okay. You can just kind of listen along and still allow your imagination to go along with me. But if you can, you can close your eyes and just think of a point in your life or a situation in your life where you do feel you're being blocked, you know, whether it's self-sabotage, or it's kind of those implicit emotions that just come out of nowhere, or I'm not sure what it is for you, but give yourself a minute to kind of come up with, you know, the part of your life that you would want to look at in this little short, brief subconscious communication exercise. And then just take a few breaths, and you can imagine that you can breathe in through your heart and out through the tips of your fingers. Breathing in through your heart, breathe out through the tips of your toes. Breathing in through your heart, breathe out through your belly button. Breathing in through your heart, breathe out through the crown of your head. And just know that there's really no way to do this wrong. This is an imaginative journey. Your imagination helps you interpret the language of your subconscious. And the language of your subconscious is images and feelings. So you can kind of just let your imagination play. And now, after you've taken these few deep breaths, really bring that part of your life to mind, that place where you feel blocked or stuck or you're sabotaging or whatever it is, bring it to mind. And feel your body. Your body will have a reaction to that situation. It might be a discomfort, it might be a tension, or you might just have a knowing of where your body is holding in relationship to this block in your life. So noticing where in your body you feel that. Is it more on the right side or the left side, or maybe it's central? What does it feel like? Is it a tension, a sadness, a heaviness? Is it warm? Or is it cool, or maybe neither? How big is it in your body? Just breathing into the height and the width and the depth of it. What color is this feeling in your body? Does it have a texture? Does it have a shape? With your imagination, just getting really curious about this energy in your body. Noticing whatever you notice about it. And now your imagination is going to take your awareness, and you're going to dive straight into that energy, into that color, into that shape, into that texture that you've been noticing. And you dive in. And as you dive in, you just allow yourself to become that energy. Like, you feel what it feels. and you know what it knows. And sometimes it's not a great feeling, and that's okay. You can't do this wrong, and you can just allow whatever is showing up for you as best as you can. So feeling what it's like to be this energy. And then you're going to imagine that this energy has a voice and it has something to say to you. And so as this energy, you're going to speak back to yourself. And this energy is just going to complete these sentences that I have for you. So speaking as this energy, you can just say, what it's like being me is. And breathing, going even deeper into this energy, speaking again as this energy, just letting the words come out, whatever words are there. This energy will say, what I'm feeling is. Continuing to speak as this energy is going to say, three adjectives that describe me are. Feeling whatever you're feeling. You're going to keep expressing as this energy. And this energy will just say, looking through my perspective, what I believe about the world is. Continuing to speak as this energy. This energy is just going to say, my message to you is. And then just breathing, just speak anything else that wants to be spoken from this energy until that feels complete. When that feels complete, you're just going to bring your awareness out of that energy back into the wholeness and the totality of you. Feeling what that's like. Breathing into your whole body in this present moment. And then just imagine that you can receive from that energy a stream of colored energy representing everything that's been shared with you. What's the color of that stream of colored energy? Where does it enter your body first? And then just fully and deeply taking in whatever was shared with you with a sense of appreciation, compassion, curiosity. You don't have to agree with anything that that energy said, but that energy represents a part of your subconscious, the subconscious aspect of you that just wants to be seen and heard. So knowing that you've now received some interesting information and oftentimes profound and important information from your subconscious, you're going to take a few breaths. And your unconscious mind is going to let you know that this is complete, that you fully integrated this new knowing into your body and into your mind by bringing full feeling and weight back into your arms and legs, fingers and toes, and spontaneously opening your eyes. So like I said, that's really just the tip of the iceberg. That's just a little dipping your toes in to learn, you know, how to listen to your subconscious. But even that step is usually very, very profound because we don't listen to these subconscious aspects of ourselves very often. In fact, oftentimes we resist them or actively repress them. And so just opening the gates to begin that communication can just be so healing and profound. And, you know, when I do sessions with my clients or my students, they're much longer than that, much deeper than that. But, you know, just for the sake of a podcast, I feel like that's a really great intro and a really great, just kind of playful, fun way to see that you really can get a ton of information from your subconscious when you just listen and when you just ask. So yeah, how was that for you, Marcy?
Yeah, I was going to say it's more than dipping your toes in. For anybody listening, you know, who has experience with going within, uh-huh, and has spent time within, you'll just go right there. And you're right. I mean, there is just so much wisdom to be gleaned. Oh my goodness, the wisdom came right up. Aww. All the details, all the information. And just able to encapsulate, excuse me, the issue that was being held right there. Amazing.
Oh, yay. Well, I'm so glad you got so much out of it, Marcy. And yeah, people who are used to, who are very intuitive or who are just really used to dealing with themselves emotionally and compassionately, this will just open the floodgates right up. And some people have a little bit of a harder time, you know, getting started with it. And that's okay too. So, you know, if some of your listeners struggled, like, I don't know what to say and what am I feeling? That's okay too, because that's still opening the doors to starting to communicate. But yeah, Marcy, I'm so glad that you just got so much information from that.
Yeah. And, you know, something that came to me as you were just speaking is that, uh-huh, you're right. There may be those who'll have issues feeling it, mm-hmm, but you may get even just a sense, yeah, of where it is. And I think when you allow yourself that sense and that little bit of information, the moment you then put your focus in that direction, mm-hmm, you'll start to get more information. So, mm-hmm, maybe you'll see it or then start to get information about what you might feel. Mm-hmm. Like if you were feeling, what might it feel like? And like I said, any of us who have been primed is like, it's a direct target.
Yes. Well, that's really true, because it's the only thing that regenerating images and memory is doing is opening you to what you already know, to what your heart, spirit, and body already know, you know? And so like literally every single person listening probably had a completely unique experience, you know, no two would even be alike at all. And so it's just this magnificent tool to help you find your wisdom, you know, like there's nothing about it where I'm going to give my clients advice or anything like that, because I don't know better than their deep inner wisdom does. I don't at all, you know, but I get to witness, you know, when I work with clients one-on-one, I get to witness these profound changes that happen in their perception of who they are, their perception of the world, and how they feel in their bodies, you know, and it happens in just like 90 minutes. It's just unreal and so profound. And yeah. I mean, I said this already, but I think you experienced it now, that subconscious part of you, that deeply wise and also deeply vulnerable part of you, is just so ready to be heard. That, you know, if you just start listening, it's going to start talking to you. And that is magic. You know, in my opinion, it's magic, because, you know, so much of my anxiety and my self-loathing and all that kind of stuff came because I'd rejected myself my whole life, you know, and this was like the opposite of rejection. This was like, I want to hear you, like, tell me, you know. Sure. So I just love it. I think it's such a beautiful way to go within. And I really do think it's revolutionary and that it's the way of the future, you know, is us all turning inwards for our answers and us all communicating with that deep inner wisdom regularly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. Well, I can't thank you enough. I think that this has just been such an incredible conversation, and you know, the fact that you have shared this wonderful method of retrieval. Mm-hmm. You know, I can kind of feel my particles, you know, that perhaps were kind of drifting off in other places are starting to return.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh,
that's like, so beautiful.
Yeah, like a reclaiming. And so, yeah, I encourage everyone, seriously, give this a go. Give this a go. Like Karina said, you know, I mean, imagine this just took place. I don't know how long it took us, maybe 10 minutes?
Yeah, 10 or less, I would say.
So imagine, you know, how much clearing you can do in 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Right. So is that what your typical sessions are, 90 minutes long?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I ask people to leave 90 minutes for it. And then because we are dealing with this organic healing within, sometimes it will take a little bit less, sometimes it will take a little bit more. And we just finish, you know, when your body is like, I'm done, you know, so sometimes people will just be like, you know, I'm totally complete after, you know, 60 minutes or 75, or, you know, sometimes it goes a little bit longer. But yeah, 90 minutes is what I schedule with my clients. So. Mm-hmm.
That's great. And then do you find, like, how many sessions would you say typically people spend with you?
Well, I sell them in packages of 5 and 10, and it really depends on what the people's goals are. So if you want like massive change from deeply held stuff that happened in childhood, then 5 is a really good start, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes longer is better. But it really kind of depends, because you'll start getting profound insight and life changes, even just from the first few. So it really depends. Like, if you're looking for huge personality shifts from core wounds from childhood, then yeah, 5 to 10 is good. But some people just will do 1 or 2 and they'll be like, yeah, I got a ton out of that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really great. Oh, yeah. Wow. Wow. So I have to tell you that it's my birthday.
Aww.
And this was such a wonderful birthday present.
Oh, happy birthday,
Marcy. Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
Yeah, I feel like I'm renewed.
Oh, well, that just feels so auspicious that I got to be interviewed by you on your birthday.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. I really feel like you have gifted me something very special here.
Cool, cool.
Yeah. And here's something else for our audience, because I didn't realize, but Karina, you actually do have a gift for everybody else, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What is it?
Yeah, I have a free,
amazing.
I have a free PDF guide of how to communicate with your subconscious on my website, and it's called Blocked to Blooming: The Essential Guide to Subconscious Communication. And it's really about how to listen to your subconscious for healing and wholeness. And so that's free. It's on my website. My business name is Hello Inner Light. So my website is helloinnerlight.com, and all of my social media, you know, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook is all Hello Inner Light. So you can find me any of those places. But my free thing, if you go to helloinnerlight.com, is clearly marked in multiple places all over my site. You should be able to find it. But the direct link is helloinnerlight.com/bloom.
Okay. That's beautiful. And how about if somebody wants to reach you directly, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can just email me or, you know, DM me on Instagram or anything. But my my email is my name, Karena, at helloinnerlight.com. And I would just be delighted to hear from any of your listeners.
And also, excuse me, to our audience, please, you know, leave your comments or questions below this show page, because, you know, I want everyone to remember that, you know, we come here for this purpose, to share information and to share what each and every one of us is doing so that we can be a resource for each other, for friends, for family members, for, you know, people that you meet on the street, right? And I don't know about you, but I always find people just seem to find me and, you know, want to talk about what's happening with them. And I'm always so grateful to have a huge, like, Rolodex of people that I can refer to.
Yeah.
So yes, let us know what your thoughts are, what your feelings are, and if you can share your experience by going through this method also, this process, you know, here that Karina has shared, please share that with us. Remember, we're all in this together, and you don't have to give details. Just let us know how it touched you. And it helps to feed our soul as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Because we all need to know that we're appreciated. And also, I think particularly when, you know, we put ourselves out the way I'm doing, the way Karina is doing, and allowing ourselves to be vulnerable and to share on deep levels about, you know, what we're doing, what we're experiencing, we really appreciate knowing that you're listening and that you're getting something out of it. So I just want to invite each of you to share that. And again, I want to thank you, Karina. Do me a favor. Could you please spell your name? Because there'll be some people who will be listening to this and not have an opportunity to see your show page. Spell your whole name for people in case they want to just look you up in that way.
Totally. So the best way is Hello Inner Light. That's why I named my business something other than my very complicated name. But my first name is Karena. And my last name, Neukirchner, is Neukirchner.
And you're located in Colorado, right?
Yep. Yep. I am in a little town outside of Boulder, Colorado.
That's Lafayette.
Yep.
Yeah. I used to live in Superior.
Oh, wow. We need to be neighbors.
Yes. And so I know the area very well. And I know that all of, you know, my friends and colleagues in Colorado will be so happy to hear that you're there.
And,
yeah.
I do have an office where I see clients in Lafayette, although the majority of my clients are all over the world and I just see them over Zoom, which I love that we have the ability to do that.
Oh, fantastic. And with what's happening in the world now, are you still able to see people in your office?
Well, yes, because we can be 6 feet apart and masked. The majority of my clients, even my local clients, are on Zoom right now, because honestly, that makes life easier in some ways too. Like after 90 minutes of going within, you can just fall asleep on your couch or something instead of have to get in your car and drive home. But I do have a few clients who really prefer coming in, you know, in person. And since we can, you know, be plenty of space apart and wear masks, it works just fine.
Well, that's absolutely wonderful. So I look forward to hearing all about people's experiences. And again, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. And everyone, we'll see you back here next time. And until then, just keep that heart of yours smiling away and know that you are the light of the world. And you're here touching everyone also in a very profound way. So thank you so very much. And Karina, I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Marcy.
Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Bye-bye, everyone.